All right, we'll invite the boys and girls to be dismissed for their special time together. Let me invite the rest of you to take your Bible with me, if you would, please. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, as we continue our study of this passage, 2 Peter chapter 1. It's been such a great week. I've really enjoyed my time here. We've only got one more night left, and I'm so thankful for those of you who've been able to come to all the services and trust you'll be able to come back tomorrow night as we finish out in verse 7. But tonight, we will continue in our passage, and we'll be looking at verse number 6 as we look at our theme of growing in Christ and knowing Christ. You know, 2 Peter 3:18, I've been encouraging you to memorize this. I would challenge you to do so. It says, "But go in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." And I trust that you will take that verse and commit it to memory. It may be a help to you in your spiritual walk. Tonight, as we continue in verse number 6, just to kind of remind you, get you right where we are, we saw, because of who we are in Christ, for the very reason that we have been a partaker of divine nature, that we've got these amazing promises from God, that we've escaped the corruption that is in the world and its sinful desires, for that reason, we are, as a believer, are to give all diligence. We are to make every effort to add, to supply, to make sure our faith is not lacking, to be adding to our faith. We're to be providing, again, make sure we're not lacking in any of these areas. Again, it's not a menu. All of these are to be in the life of every believer. We're to be adding specific things. And he said last night, we're to add to our faith virtue, and to virtue, knowledge. And our text is going to continue. We're going to see three more of those things that God's Word says this is supposed to be a part of every believer's life. But let me remind you of this. This is to be the part of every believer's life. Remember, faith in Christ is the foundation. And I would ask you tonight, do you have that foundation? Do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Has there been a time when you realized that you were a sinner, separated from God by your sin? And God, seeing you in your sin, so loved you that He sent Christ to die on the cross for your sins. Christ died for your sins in your place. 1 Peter 2:24, who His own self bore our sins on His body on the tree. Christ paid the penalty for our sins. He died. He was buried. He rose the third day just as was foretold. He conquered sin and death. He, for 40 days after His resurrection, He proved Himself alive, and then He went back to heaven. He ascended into heaven. He's coming back someday. And here's the promise He has made. The promise is this, Romans 10:9-10, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You can be rescued from your sins through faith in Jesus Christ alone. You can have eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ alone. And this faith is the foundation. It is the foundation of our relationship with God. It's impossible for you to have a relationship with God apart from Jesus Christ. So my question to you is, do you have a personal relationship with God? Have you placed your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Do you have the foundation of faith? If so, this is for you. And look what he says in verse number 6. Please look with me at verse 6. He says, and to knowledge, so we're to be adding to all these things to our faith, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness. The first thing we see tonight in this verse, three things that we're to add. The first one we see is temperance. The word temperance means self-control. A literal way you can translate it is to hold oneself in. Here is the idea of self-control. You have sinful desires within you. And these sinful desires want to be fulfilled, and you must learn by the grace of God to say no to these things and not allow yourselves to indulge in the selfish, sinful desires that are within your body. And they're manifested in lots of ways. Sometimes it may be having self-control in the area of your anger. Maybe it's your tongue or your language. Maybe it's self-control in a physical sexual desire. Maybe it's self-control in spending money. Some people are they're getting themselves in debt because they have no self-control in what they spend. Maybe no self-control in their time. Or maybe so many believers, they don't even spend time with God because they have no self-control to get out of bed in the morning to get up and spend time with the Lord. Many believers aren't even faithful to church because they don't have the self-control to get up. I might be a little bit tired, but I need to get up. I need to get going. I need to go to church, be disciplined. And many believers need to understand the importance of self-control. 1 Corinthians 9:27, the Apostle Paul said this. He says, but I keep under my body. Now that's the the Greek here, it's a boxing term. It literally means I give my body a black eye. He says, but I keep under my body and bring it under subjection, lest by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. What he was saying is this, is Paul said, I have the sinful desires in me that keep wanting to be fulfilled. They rise up. And so if I don't keep them under, if I don't bring them into subjection, I will make my life a spiritual wreck. And I don't want to be cast away. You see, believer, we need to be able, by the grace of God, to bring these desires under control. You see, the Word of God tells us in Galatians 5 and verse 16, this I say, then walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now listen to verse 17. For the flesh lusteth, or fights, against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that you can't do the things that you would. Your flesh desires sinful things. The Spirit of God that dwells in you says, no, please God. And there's a battle going on. And if we will walk in the Spirit and we'll walk in obedience to God's Word, we can, by God's grace, we can have control over those sinful things in our lives, those sinful desires that we want to fulfill. That's why Romans 14:13 says this, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, one of the things, part of self-control is putting things in your life to make it difficult for you to fulfill sinful desires. Let me illustrate it to you this way. I think most of you, if you love the Lord, you will agree with me that the best dessert in all of the world is ice cream, right? And by the way, I'm an ice cream connoisseur, okay? You know, Walmart, great value, ice cream's okay. But you know the kind I like? You know what I like? Ben and Jerry's. Haagen-Dazs. The stuff you have to put a second mortgage on your house, you know, on in order to afford. The good stuff. Now, let's just say that I decide I'm, you know, it's January, I got to lose weight. So is it wise for me to say, you know what, I'm going to lose weight, I'm going to go to Walmart, and I pick out one of my very favorite Ben and Jerry's ice cream, fish food. That's the name of it. Dark chocolate ice cream with little chocolate fish in it and caramel and marshmallow cream all throughout it. It is amazing. So I get fish food and I put it in my freezer. And I'm sitting in, after a long day, I'm sitting on my couch about 9 o'clock and I begin to, what do I start to think about? I'm a little hungry. What do I want? Oh, fish food. But I need to lose weight. I'm not going to eat it, so what do? I get up, I go in, I just open up the refrigerator door, freezer door, and I look at it. Nope, not going to have it. 15 minutes later, I'm sitting there, I'm thinking, you know, probably wouldn't hurt to smell it. So I go in there, open it up, get it out, take the lid off. The dark chocolate caramely marshmallow goodness. Mm. Put the lid back on, put it in the freezer, go back out. 15 minutes later, I'm just at that aroma, and my mouth is watering as I think of the taste. And then, well, you know what? One spoonful wouldn't hurt. Just one bite. And I go in, and I have just one bite, and then that one bite leads into what? The container's gone. And I'm miserable on the couch, and I'm thinking, why in the world did I do that? What would have been the best thing for me not to do? Don't buy it in the first place, right? Look, believer, maybe you struggle, and there's sometimes in our lives with the things that we struggle with in self-control, there's not something like an object that you can remove from your life that would help keep you from sin. It's just in you. But you know what? If you're struggling with, for example, having a pure thought life and it's because of the things that you watch, get rid of your television, get rid of your smartphone, put your computer in a public place, do what you have to do to keep yourself pure, get accountable. Believer, listen, we are to keep these sinful desires under control. And what Satan does is he knows what our temptations are and he just wants us and he'll be putting those temptations in our path. And we have to, by the grace of God, realize, no, I need to have self-control. I need to say no to these things. Part of that is temperance, to put self-control, to hold ourselves in so that these sinful desires do not hurt our testimony for Christ and take us back into the bondage that Christ came to free us from. And that's what those sinful lusts always do. They always want to bring us back into bondage, the very bondage that, remember, we have been freed completely from the corruption that is in the world through lust. And so he says you need to add temperance. Number two, look at the next word he says you're to add your temperance. He says patience. The word patience here does not mean what is required when you're sitting in a stoplight and you're in a hurry. or what you require when you're in a restaurant and you're starving to death and your food's taking 47 minutes to get to your table. The word patience here means endurance. Well, one of the ways this Greek word can be translated is staying under. The idea is that a burden has been placed upon you. And the burden is heavy. And what do we do when a trial or a difficulty comes into our life? What is our initial response with that? What do we want to do with it? Get rid of it. I don't want it. God, take it from me. I want this off of me. And the idea of endurance is that this burden has been placed upon you, and instead of trying to get out from under it, is that as long as God leaves it there, I'm going to stay under, and I'm going to keep living for Christ and until he removes it. But that's all up to him. The idea of endurance is the idea of doing right and what is pleasing to Christ, even in pressure and problems and difficult circumstances. James 1 says this, James 1, 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or various trials, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience, endurance. But let patience have her perfect work, or let it complete its work in you, that you may be perfect or mature and entire, wanting nothing. God has a plan for those trials, and if you give up or you give in, God will never be able to accomplish the purpose of that difficult trial and circumstance in your life that he's designed it for. Believer, we must endure. Look, this isn't, here's how some of us get. We got the burden, so here we go. Now we're the spiritual martyrs. Here's the burden. I'm on my burden, and the Lord's given to me. It's the cross I'll bear, and I'm going to go through life with this heavy load, knowing that I'm miserable, and I want everyone else to know around me that I'm miserable also. Look, this is not talking about endurance with resignation to my lot. This is endurance with hope. God has a plan. God's in control. God is good. God's grace is sufficient. By his grace, I can endure. There have been so many times, in evangelism, when you've had those, there's no money in your checking account, none in the ministry account. All six tires have to be replaced in the truck. Radiator goes out, jack on your trailer breaks, and you burn your legs. First and second degree burns from your knees to your ankles. Those are hard days. Is that when you quit? When you get the call from your wife's doctor and tells you you can't travel because they're pretty sure your wife has ovarian cancer? You have to cancel your whole fall of meetings, and that's how we live. I don't have a salary. I don't have support like a missionary. We live by faith. Lord, how are you going to provide our needs? What if my wife has cancer? What if it takes her life? All the unknowns. Is that when you give in? Do you give up? No. You endure by the grace of God. You go through the trial. You go through the difficulty. Not in your own strength, but trusting in his grace. And we must endure. Believer, add to your faith patience. I don't know what your needs are. I don't know what you're going through. But here's the exhortation of endurance. Don't give in. Don't give up. People are throwing in the towel. It's just too hard to raise your kids God's way. Giving up on their marriage. Giving up on church. Quitting when the going gets tough. I'm tired of doing what's right at work. Why don't I just give in and go along with everyone else? Believer, don't give in. Don't give up. Endure by the grace of God. One final exhortation. Look with me, please, at the end of the verse. We're to add to our patience godliness. The word godliness here means God-likeness. It's the idea of being like Jesus Christ. It's an attitude that is seeking to please Christ in everything. It's taking my life and being like Christ. Godliness, you could really substitute Christ-likeness. Now, here's the thing with godliness, very interesting. Excuse me. Is godliness, many times, in our churches, we've kind of come to some wrong conclusions. And that's this, is that godliness is measured by standards. So, in other words, see, standards, we get to our list of standards, and this is what I do, what I don't do. And so, this defines me. It's my righteousness. And so I do this, and this is measurable, it's attainable, it's achievable, and if I have all those things checked, then that makes me a godly person. And then what we do is this, it's kind of interesting what we do, is so we get our standards, and that's kind of our wall, and raise up our flag, boop, boop, and then we look over our wall. And somebody's wall is lower than ours, so what do? Liberal! And then we look around and somebody's wall is higher than ours, and what do? Legalist! Here's the problem, is all of these things is not what measures godliness. I want you to grab this. Godliness is never measured by standards. It's always measured by the Savior, Jesus Christ. Do you want to know what true godliness is? Godliness is not a list of do's and don'ts. Godliness is measured by the Savior, by the person of Jesus Christ. Because you can have all of the right standards. Oh, I've got it all in dress and music and entertainment and this and this. You can come to this church dressed to the nines and not be like Jesus Christ. You can listen to all the right music and not be like Jesus Christ. You can have all the right entertainment and still not be like Jesus Christ. Because godliness is measured by our wonderful Savior. That He is what we're seeking to become. And by the way, when we get our eyes off of these standards and get our eyes onto the Savior, Jesus Christ, we're not looking at everyone else. We're not comparing ourselves to everyone else. We're comparing ourselves with Jesus Christ, and He will point out to us the areas in our life that we need to be changed so that we can be more like Him. And when He says you are to be adding to our faith godliness, Christ-likeness, what is like Him, our lives are to be more and more conformed to the image of Christ. And this requires us to be walking with Him in His Word and in prayer and allowing Him to change us to be like Christ. You know, I wonder, could I ask you this? When was the last time that you compared your life to Jesus? And said, you know, how is Jesus looking at the life of Christ? And if I'm going to be like Him, look, what are the areas that maybe you fall short in? I'll tell you what, I got a whole long list for mine. And it's very interesting, when we critique and we're critical of other people, usually we end up come out on top. We're looking pretty good. But every time you compare your lives to Christ's, He always comes out on top. Our perfect example. Believers, brothers and sisters in Christ, we're to be diligently adding to our faith these things: temperance, self-control, endurance, patience, and number three, godliness, being like Christ. Could I ask you this evening, are you, by the grace of God, adding diligently to your faith these things? Our time of invitation tonight, we're going to, again, take a couple minutes to reflect and to respond to God's Word. And I trust that you'll take the time in this that's been set aside, that you will give serious meditation and thought to the truths of this word, these of temperance, self-control. Maybe the Spirit of God is already identified in you. Maybe He's already brought to your mind. You struggle with your temper. You struggle with your tongue. You struggle with your thoughts. You struggle with this specific temptation. And this, you need to be exercising more self-control in this area. Maybe the Lord got a hold of your heart about patience or endurance. You've been going through some difficult things. Maybe it's been a long time and you've just been kind of tempted to quit. Don't give in. Don't give up. Endure by the grace of God. Godliness. Maybe in your thinking you thought, you know what, I just always have the right checklist and that's what makes me godly. And maybe you've realized you've been looking at the wrong thing to compare yourself to, and you need to compare yourself to Christ, because that is the measure of genuine godliness, the person of Christ. Let me encourage you in that time. Maybe the Lord brought something to your heart in that. Would you respond in obedience to His truth? And would you, in your heart, respond in humble obedience, asking God to help you to be adding these to your life so that your life might reflect an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ? So our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed together. Let's take some time to intentionally reflect and to respond to God's Word this evening. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your truth. May it change us to be more like Your Son. Lord, may we heed the admonition in 2 Peter to add to our faith temperance, patience, and godliness, so that our lives would reflect the reality of our relationship with Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Pastor, you come and close our service, please.